Revelation chapter 12. We're going to talk about victory. These are four of the words that you'll find in the scripture that talk about your rights in Christ, what He's done for you, what He wants you to have. First, He wants you to overcome. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to conquer. He wants you to triumph. Now, the pathway to overcoming is already paved for you by the death and resurrection of our Lord. It's not something you're going to have to work at. It's something you're going to receive by your faith. Overcoming power. All of these indicate that there's something to overcome, something to conquer, something to have victory over. If your life is perfect, you have plenty of food, you have plenty of gas, you have a wonderful car, your house is paid for, your children are A students, your grandchildren are A students, your neighbors are absolutely a dream, you probably don't need to conquer. But most of us have an obstacle, whether it's a person or an event that stands in our way. And what we know from the scripture today is victory was provided for you by the death and resurrection of our Lord. It's already yours. Now, this is verse 11. The preface to this is that Michael and the archangels were fighting with the devil and his angels, and the devil was cast out. And then we have this verse, and they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, don't let the love not your wives unto death bother you. When you check the translations, it means I'm so surrendered to God that anything He needs of me, I'll do. And we have in every generation people who surrender their lives for the gospel. That's not happening in Lakeland, Florida today, so you have nothing to worry about. You're still going to completely surrender your life to anything God needs you to do, any place He needs you to go, any money He needs you to spend or contribute. It says, and they overcame the devil, they overcame the works of the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when you overcome, you conquer. You prevail, you have victory. They overcame any obstacle in your life that's a deterrent to the fullness of the gospel working. You're going to overcome, and you're going to overcome because you understand what the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus' sacrifice has done, the full provision of the sacrifice, you get that. You understand that, and because you understand that and you stand there, you know, I always say we're going to kneel at the cross, stand at the empty tomb, and sit a while in the upper room. And when that's going for you in your life, you're in position to receive everything that's paid for. Now, years ago, the choir, Wayne and I are part of the denominational choir. It's not because we sing so well. It's because anybody that can carry a tune is in the choir. Were you there?
Yeah.
And so they had a big end-of-the-year banquet, and it was $10 a person. Well, we didn't even sign up to go because we didn't have $10. We didn't have $20. I don't know if you came from poor, but we did. Is that where you came from? And so somebody paid for our tickets. They noticed our name wasn't on the list, and they paid for our tickets. And as they came to us, somebody did and said, you can go to the banquet. Somebody has paid your way. Well, that paid for the salad and the entree and the meat and the potato and the cheese. Anything there was paid for. It was a large buffet, and anything we wanted was paid for. We didn't pay for it. They paid for it. Now, Jesus has paid for some things, and if you don't know what's paid for, then you're going to miss out on the bounty and the benefit that belongs to you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Have you ever gone to the store and forgot something? I mean, if you didn't, you're not normal. And what we do now that we're older, we make a list. And then what we do is forget our list. Isn't that right? So yesterday, Wayne's running our errands. He's going to the post office, and we had to mail our quarterly report thing to the government. We're very accountable. And he went by Publix because I forgot the tea. Now, I can make iced tea. I like theirs better. And why would I make it at that price? Just saying. You do what you want. And I made tea for decades, and all of a sudden it came to me. I don't have to do this anymore. I do not. So Wayne went by just to get the tea. That's all. He went to the post office and by Publix to get the tea. We bought tea at other places. Publix is your best bet on tea. So we forgot it last time we were there. Has that ever happened to you? So now you didn't be in the scripture so much. I'm just getting ready to hang you from the rafters. You ready? that you don't forget things, that you know the benefits and you don't let a crisis come to you and you be disturbed. You remember last week we had, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm God. I will strengthen thee. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." We don't want to forget any of those things. We don't want to forget that we don't have to be afraid. We don't want to forget that we have His strength. We have His help. And He says, "I am God," and that's covenant speaking. He's talking about His blood and the covenant that was cut to give you all the benefits. And we may, I think, in future weeks, maybe even next week, dive into that so you'll understand that. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That means I know. Now, growing up at the house, I knew what my mama would like and what my mama didn't like, right? You didn't miss that lesson, did you? We had a peach tree. My brother's been in town. He came for the weekend. He's dragging around a broken foot. I'm the older, and he's the younger, and he's quite a bit younger, and he broke his foot. And they were talking about the peach tree at the back door, at Mama's back door. You remember the peach tree at Mama's back door? Debbie said, "Well, that thing never did have peaches." They said, "That's because she kept stripping the limbs off of it for other purposes." that was probably the truth of it. But see, some things you don't forget. What we tend to do is etch in our memory what's bad and what's awful and how we struggled, rather than celebrating the victory that's purchased, that's what? Paid for. Now, if you have arthritis, it's paid for. Bursitis is paid for. Migraine headaches is paid for. You know the ociliary headache? I hope you don't know that one. It's paid for. Leukemia is paid for. Cancer is paid for. It's all paid for. It's all paid for. Now, if I paid for something at the store and they called you and said someone has paid for the bedspread that you always wanted, then you'd be right down there to see, right? You wouldn't say, "Oh, that's probably not the truth." See, this is the truth. This is what God said you could have. He said you could overcome. That means whatever tries to dominate you, whether it's your health or your finances or your children or your neighbor or your car. Has your car ever tried to dominate you? Huh? Y'all have a perfect car? No, us either. Oh, it's amazing how much they charge for that. But it's paid for. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me. Your life is paid for. Spirit, soul, and body. The God of peace sanctified you wholly, and I pray, God, He sanctifies you spirit, soul, and body, preserves you blameless. That's done. Now, I can live without those benefits. And you live without a lot of benefits. You know, when you applied for Social Security, if you're that age, you don't know anything. I didn't know anything. I didn't work but 3 years in my entire life because we stayed home, raised our children. And that was the agreement Wayne and I had before we married. I said, "I will not work and send my children to daycare." That has nothing to do with you. Nothing. Has to do with what I felt like the Lord had dealt with me. And so I didn't have any my Social Security check is $160, something like that. Well, you can't do a lot with that. But Jesus paid all. He said, "My God will supply all your need." Yes. Supply all your need. Supply all your need. All. You know what all is? When you clean your plate, that's what my mama required. We cleaned our plate. Food was hard to come by, and we cleaned our plate. And my brother didn't like okra. And I remember him still sitting at the table at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with his plate of okra. He said to me, he made a terrible mistake. He said, "I don't like okra." And so he sat there all afternoon because that was against the rules. See, some things God wants you to know are paid for. It's already paid for. You needn't be distressed about it. You needn't be fearful about it. It is paid for. It belongs to you. Now, it says you can overcome. That means there's something in your way. I say you can come over, come around, come through, come past. Doesn't really matter. But when you know what Jesus has did, then you have the overcoming power. Overcoming power. Overcoming power to win every single step, no matter what the trauma. See, we have to constantly remind ourselves of that because we tend to be overwhelmed by the dramatized by the difficulties that have happened to you. And Wayne Cumby will be quick to correct you if I say, "I have a headache." And if you say it a second time or a third time, he's going to say, Becky, you need to practice what you preach. I have to work as hard as you do, and harder than some of you, I'm just telling you. We're going to overcome because we know what Jesus did. And it says, by the word of our testimony. In other words, what words are coming out of my mouth? What Jesus did. That's my testimony. Now, in the Old Testament, the word testimony is different than this one. This is what you speak words. You're giving testimony. You're speaking words. But testimony in the Old Testament means to do it again. And anytime you speak words, you're saying, I know you did it, and I know you'll do it again. That's amazing, isn't it? And when somebody gives their testimony in a meeting, we watched one lately. The lady had 3 metal plates in her. She had broken her leg, and it had severed completely from the foot. And they had to put 3 metal plates. And she's sitting out there in a meeting, and the man got up, ministered, and said a couple works. And this lady in the back, we were watching, started screaming at the top of her lungs. And those metal plates disappeared. And her leg and her foot hooked up. You know what happened when they called her up to explain why she's screaming? 5, 10, 15, 20 other people with foot problems got suddenly healed. That's the purpose of your testimony. It's not only giving credit where credit's due. Recognizing God who did what you can't do. And a lot of times what medical science can't do. And it's going to influence everybody around you. Your faith and your miracle, your healing. Now, okay, we got overcome, overcome, overcome. Look at 1 John. Chapter 5. Verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's really whosoever. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. We talked about overcome, conquers. See, we talk about conquering the devil. The devil's been defeated. Calvary defeated the devil. There are 3 enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you don't have to fall prey to any of them. The flesh is your problem. That's when I listen to my senses. They said, do you feel that? Have you heard that? I think your knee is cracking. We don't let our senses contradict the word of God. We don't let the world contradict the word of God. We don't let the devil. See, Eve listened to the devil. And he's very clever. And we're told, don't give him a place. That means he doesn't have a place unless I give him one. He says, don't give a place to the devil. Now, if I have a big banquet or I'll just have a small dinner, not much into cooking. I saw a lady the other day at Publix, and she had about 8 or 10 boxes of potato salad. Everything she had, somebody had made. And I thought, she's going to have a big dinner and she's not cooking. That's what was up. And I thought, go ahead, lady, go ahead. I thought it was wonderful. Well, if I'm planning for 6 and you called and said, my friend just dropped in from out of town, can I bring her? And if you know me, that's perfectly fine with me. My mother said, you always cook more than enough. We always have more than enough. We can always have drop-in guests at the last minute. Won't make any difference to me. We try to have enough to have leftovers for tomorrow, right? And so there wasn't a place for your friend, but I'm going to make a place for your friend. There isn't a place for the devil. He's been defeated. We triumph over him. We have victory over him. We overcome. We conquer him because of what the blood did, because of what Jesus has done. And we don't let him have a place. And he sets a place in your mind. And that's why, is it 2 Corinthians 10 or 1 Corinthians 10? I forget. Where it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts its imaginations. Reasoning, that means I'm thinking about a thought that is contrary to the scripture. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I've got this thought about my health, about my neighbor, about my car, about my children, that contradicts the word of God. See, the scripture says, my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. My children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. Well, Joel has an unusual mindset. He's quite brilliant, as is Suzanne. I don't know where they got that from, but anyway, that happened. And when he was in 3rd grade, they called him, they're putting him in remedial math. I was absolutely startled. I went down and asked, could I sit in? So I sat in the classroom through the math thing, and I could see exactly why he was having trouble. Nobody could have concentrated in that class. You could sit where you want to, move where you want, talk to who you want. And it was too much for Joel's power to concentrate. His mind began to shift. Well, we were cooperative to a degree. And he ended up, we gave him a verse of scripture, which is in Daniel. And then when Brother Mark Bazee was here, he said, I'm going to ask Brother Mark for a scripture. And so Brother Mark gave him the same scripture that I had given him to him. So we're standing concrete on the Word of God and on the promise of God. In the meantime, as he's promoted, he has different atmospheres, and in that atmosphere, he excelled in math. He still excels in math. It's amazing how you can get distracted and how your atmosphere can distract you. Well, we're going to overcome because we know the victory is ours. We know it's paid for. Now, overcomes the world. That's anything and everything that's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even in our faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Jesus has done. Faith in the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, if you go down to verse 11, this is a record. God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He gave to us eternal life through his death. His blood was shed so that we could have life. And when we have his life, we have the benefits, the full benefits of that life. Now, we used to have access to a cabin in the mountains. One of the hardest days of my life is when they wanted my agreement to sell it. I went, oh, love that cabin. But it came with a lot of benefits. It was belonged to somebody that we knew, and they let us use it if we'd pay the electricity, and the gas bill's quite high. And we paid our share of that for the week. Otherwise, we used the dishes. Wayne even rescreened the back porch. They must have had a big dog. Anyway, he took out the screen. Wayne rescreened the back porch for them. We ate at the table. We sat on the sofa. They didn't have a TV, which is the best vacation you will ever have in your life. Can your TV. That's right. Write that down, big print. Can the TV. Anyway, they did have a stack of movies, and being a fine Christian family, and they had a player you could play movies. And so we played a couple of Hallmarks. I'm not big into movies, as you know. I got over it. Well, I never got into it because Christians didn't go to movies? Were you raised there? No, I'm the only one. So when the senior class went to Gone with the Wind, I didn't get to go because Christians don't go to movies. And so we were vacationing with friends. I was probably in my 40s, and she wanted us to see a movie. So I'm generally agreeable depending upon what we're going to watch. I'm not a movie person. That doesn't have anything to do with you unless you're watching smut. Then we'll have a word for you. So she found out I hadn't watched Gone with the Wind, so she rented it. I was intrigued. It had one curse word in it, and they paid a fine to be able to say that curse word. They paid a large fine to be able to say that. And they had the filmmakers had contacted them and said, you can't say that. Do you remember those days? Are you that old you can remember when there was no curse words in movies? So they paid the fine. They said, we're going to say it. And that's what we do a lot of times. I know this is wrong. I know this is the wrong direction. I know this is distressing me, but I keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about it. What do I do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, a lady came to me for prayer. That was decades ago, and she's since gone to heaven. And she came, and she said, and she wanted prayer. She said she's fixing to have surgery, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs. I mean, screaming. And so she had somebody with her, and I said, I hope you drove her. She said, well, yeah, because she wasn't able to drive. I thought, oh, hallelujah. There's no way we want her behind the wheel. So I did all I could to help her. She just wouldn't come off of that pulpit. So a couple weeks later, she came flying back in. She's happy as a lark. She said, I had my surgery. And then I find out it was an office procedure. It was just a little office procedure. I said, I'm a nice person, basically. I said, well, I'm glad it worked out for you. See, there are going to be some things. That's the truth. It could have worked out. She didn't have to scream about that. I thought, half people in here have had that procedure. I mean, I didn't say that. I just said, well, I'm glad it worked out for you, and I'm glad your report was good, and I went on with my life. I'm supposed to help, not hinder. And sometimes the best thing you can do for them is say, now, wait a minute, let's back up here and show them some things from the scripture. Now, what I'm showing you is we overcome the world. It doesn't matter what it is, what it does, how long it hurts, or what it costs. Your freedom is paid for. It's paid for. And our house is paid for, and that's because we've lived in it 50 years. We made one payment at a time. And sometimes in your dilemma, you have to take one step at a time. Just one step at a time. Our car's paid for. It's older than 5 years. It's paid for. But we made every payment. See, as I walk with God in the light of His Word, He shines His glory and His wisdom so that I can step into what's paid for and not concentrate on what brings me great distress. Everybody's been distressed. See, God is good, and His mercy endures forever. I had migraine headaches. Had my first from the 7th or 8th grade. I had the kind you didn't know if you wanted to live or die. Did you have those? And Mother would turn all the lights out, close all the blinds. You can't do light. You can't do noise. Everybody tiptoed. Nobody raised their voice. And there was no medicine for migraines in those days. And I had them till I was 30 years old. And the day I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, never had another one. At 30. Because when God saw my faith for speaking in tongues, which I didn't know anything about before then, when He saw that faith gave faith for healing. Yes. Because both are paid for. Yes. Wow. You see that? Mm-hmm. Now, I had a couple chances to have another migraine. I won't tell you that I didn't. I was going to the grocery store, with or without, probably without my list, and I suddenly had the symptoms of a migraine because your vision blurs. You see things that aren't there, and that the blurring of the vision comes before the headache. Do y'all know anything about migraines? Do you want me to help you? And so I passed by the church, and I thought, I'm just going to run and get prayer. So there's nobody there. The whole office, they're all gone somewhere. But there was a man dumping dirt in the flower bed. And I went up and I said, sir, I need prayer. And he looked up and he said, I'm kind of dirty. I said, put them right here. I don't care. Put them right here. I don't care. And in about 30 minutes, I was totally over it because I knew it was paid for. I knew it didn't have to happen. I knew I didn't have to yield to that, but I had to fight. Yes. But migraines, 30-minute fight's not too bad. I never did get past the vision, but your vision so blurs, it's just annoying. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed disease is annoying? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have victory. We're going to overcome and have victory because we have faith in the blood that was shed. We have faith in the fact that everything that I need has been paid for. So we're going to have victory. Victory's when you win. You can't say I won if there wasn't any obstacles in your path. Now, let's look at Romans 8. It doesn't matter which word you use, choose the one you like. The one that registers in your being. And this says, in all things. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
We are more than conquerors. That means you didn't fight the battle. Somebody fought the battle and gave the victory to you. That's what that means. Somebody else fought the battle. Jesus fought the battle. He defeated the devil. And then He gave the victory to you. He didn't need victory. He could have stayed in heaven. He had victory. But He came because of our need. He came to make a sacrifice so that we could have victory, not just over spiritual death, but over sickness, over poverty, over everything in this world that would hinder you. It's already paid for that you can rise above that. Now, this is a true story. There was a little lady that was a maid in a huge household of a wealthy person, and the wealthy lady was the last to survive, and when she died, there was no heirs, and so this little lady had been left something, but she never learned to read. She didn't know how to read, so she had it framed and put it on she had this tiny little shack, just barely above cardboard, and she had it framed and put in on the wall in her shack. She couldn't read it. She didn't even get anybody to read it. Well, one day, years later, a pastor was in to visit her. She was sick. He had heard she was sick, and he decided to drop by, and he noticed on the wall, and he stood there and read it, and he said, "Do you know what this says?" She said, "No, I can't read. Miss So-and-so gave that to me. They sent it to me when she died." Do you know what it was? The whole estate was hers. She could have lived in the big house with all the servants were still being paid. You know what defeated her? Ignorance. She didn't know. She didn't know. Well, you know, she did what you would do. She packed her two things and she headed for the big house. And we're glad that worked out for her, even though she didn't live too long after that to enjoy it. See, the more knowledge I have, the quicker I can enjoy the benefits. Amen. When we go to the mountain house, we could use everything that's in the kitchen. It had full pots and pans. It had all kinds of dishware. We could use anything in the pantry. The phone bill was paid. We had phones, but we could have used their phone. We could sit on the porch and the screen porch. We could sit and watch the deer and the bears cross the mountain. And if you don't think that didn't happen, you weren't at the top of the mountain where we were. Well, one year we were going to the mountain, and Wayne likes to get there before dark, and I don't care if we get there before dark or not because I'm not driving. And we were running a little late, and he blames that on me, and it probably was mostly my fault because I like to stop here and there for this and that. And so we were late, and it had rained that day, and it's right at the top of the mountain up here. And you couldn't get up the mountain because the leaves had and the wind had covered the driveway, and they were wet leaves, and we went up 2 or 3 foot and slide the foot of the mountain, 2 foot, slide the foot of the mountain. So I sat in the car while Wayne, we had the key. He knows there's some equipment in the basement. He's going up to see if there's a blower to blow the leaves off of the driveway so we can get up. See, you may have an obstacle in your path, but your victory's paid for, and with the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, you can blow that obstacle out of your way. Don't let it stand in your way. Don't concentrate on it. Don't keep thinking about it. And so he did. He was gone a long time because it's a long way to the top of the mountain on wet leaves. And he came back, and then he's got to go. He had actually blown the leaves off coming down the mountain, and we were given another try. See, so you lost once. Still paid for. I don't know how you lost it. I don't know why you didn't get it. Try again. It's paid for. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Now, more than a conqueror. That means someone fought the battle and gave you the victory. And when you conquer, you have victory. It doesn't matter if you conquer, you triumph, you overcome. It's all the same. Now look, I want to show you what we have victory over. Verse 35, we may have done these before, I always forget. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, it was the love of Christ that died for you so you could have victory. If I did something for my daughter or my son and they didn't receive that or they refused that, I would be being human, I'd be somewhat offended, see? God wants you to have what He paid for. He wants you to have the freedom from sickness and disease and distress. Now look at this list. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. That's in verse 34. That's the source of your victory. His death, conquering Satan, and the resurrection, which secures it for you. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, it's the love of Christ that caused him. God so loved the world. It's the so love of Christ that caused Jesus to come to earth. It was the love of God that caused him to die and defeat Satan. And he did that for man's victory so that you could have eternal life and every blessing, spirit, soul, and body that you needed. Mm-hmm. See, there's a lot of rumors out there that God doesn't heal today. So they don't believe in what's paid for, so they don't get it. Now, God can sneak up on them, and He does sometimes, and just works a miracle, just gives them healing. That's fine. We can't, you know, you can't tell God what to do, but when He tells you what to do, guess what? We ought to step up to the line. Okay, tribulation. Tribulation is to be under pressure. Has that ever happened to you? To be in anguish. Anything that causes pressure and anguish is paid for. You know, if you ever looked at your checkbook, Wayne started with the city $1 an hour. I don't know, even in those days, that didn't go very far. When he was in the military, he made $121 and our rent was $65. So I've been there. So you could be in a little stress, distress. But one thing I know, that when the crimson flow fell down to earth below, it fell for me. His eyes were open wide. My eyes are open wide. I see him crucified. I know for me he died. I know everything I need to live successfully and to overcome every obstacle, sickness and disease or any other, is paid for. And the road to victory is understanding the cross, understanding the blood, and beginning to say, I overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimonies. When I begin to say what Jesus' blood did for me, I begin to plant that in my spirit. It doesn't happen because you said it. It happens because you believed it when you said it. You said it enough. You know, we have some special recipes. My mother made an unusual potato soup. You've never seen a potato soup like this. Nobody makes it this way. It's not a cream of potato soup. It's the way Mother did it. And so somebody wanted to know, do you remember how to make Mother's potato soup? I said, well, Suzanne does, because, see, I'm very smart. And so when Mother, we thought she's going to go to heaven soon, I said, I'll keep Ashley, although she decided to take Ashley with her, and you go to Mother's and find out how to make the chicken and dressing and the potato soup. There's some things we needed from my mother before she died. And so I have those. I can look them up, but I don't really need to look them up. I know what they say. Wayne's mother made a super pound cake. Super, super, super duper. So I go down. She had made a coconut cake, and she left out some ingredients. It was about, you know. So I could see, if we're going to get Granny's recipes, we better do it now, you know. See, today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do it now. Find out what's paid for now. Conquer it now. You conquer it first with your faith, and your circumstances will line up with your faith. And if your circumstances don't line up with your faith, maybe it wasn't, your faith wasn't in play. Right? So I go down there. Wayne's mother, Wayne was raised on a farm family, and she puts all the ingredients. She didn't measure anything. And when she got them all in, she put her hand in the bowl. She went, needs another egg. I said, well, how long is this going to be in the oven? When's it going to be done? And there's no use me standing and watching the rest of this, because I can't tell about the eggs by feel. I mean, I just don't know how to do that. She's been doing that all her life. See, and the things you've been doing all your life, you're supposed to share with others. You're supposed to tell them how Jesus did that for you. You're supposed to give your testimony. This is what happened to me. This is what he did for me. I believed in the blood. I believed in his death. I believed that every obstacle in life had been overcome. I believed I had triumphed. More than conqueror. Okay. Tribulation is distress. Now, this word distress is very, very interesting. It means to be placed in a narrow room. That's the literal meaning, to be placed in a narrow room. Have y'all been to Rock City?
Yep. Yes.
Have you been through Fat Man Square? You know Fat Man Square? Uh-huh, yeah. They have this place between the two mountains that's very narrow. In fact, if you were a 500-pound, you ain't going that way. You have to go around. It's called Fat Man Square, and you kind of have to slide through. I remember we lived there for a year. My daddy went to college in Chattanooga for a year, and we went there a couple of times, and I still remember that. Because I'm just a little girl, you know, wondering if I would get hung up in Fat Man Square, you know. Even though I probably didn't weigh but, you know, 40 pounds or so. You remember those days, 40 pounds? Anybody remember 40 pounds? No. I won't ask if you remember 140. We won't go there. But now I want to show you, keep your finger there, I want to show you the 118th Psalm. That word means to go through a narrow place. You know what we'd say today if we were writing it? We'd say to be in a jam, to be in a jam, to be in a tight place. 118th Psalm, this is what the psalmist told you. This is so very enlightening, so very important. Oh, and I'll never get through my lesson. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in my distress. Distress is a word that Romans used. We're talking about distress. And the Lord answered me and set me in what? A large place. He doesn't want you to be in a jam. He doesn't want you to be in a narrow place. He said he died so you could be in a large place, so you could have room to maneuver, so you could have room to bring people into your space and show them what you know. It's also in 31st Psalm, verse 8. You don't have to turn over there. I'll just read that to you. And it says, "Has not shut me up to the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." You're not in a tight place with the enemy, not in your body, not in your circumstances, not with your children, not with your household, not in your car, not with your lawnmower. There is no place that God can't provide you with what you need. And here's what we do. Oh, no, we've spent so much money in the what? You said the what is not working. I'm telling you, our 50-year-old home has been a challenge to our faith. And we're winning, though. We're winning. God said, I don't want you to be in a jam. I don't want you to be in a narrow place. See, and you know what puts you in a narrow place? Your mind. Oh, I don't know what we're ever going to do. Or here's the cry. Do you have any money? Do I have any money? Suzanne, do we have any money? Suzanne's my bookkeeper. It's a wonderful thing to have a bookkeeper. Then he says, persecution, which means you're followed or harassed. Somebody's always on your case. Maybe the neighbor that parks her big truck in your yard. Have you ever been there? Talked to a lady that had been there. Very clever lady. She kept very calm. She didn't say anything. She went to the nursery and bought a bunch of big trees and planted them where he usually planted his truck. I thought it was a brilliant idea. You don't have to scream at him. You know you can't park your truck in my yard. And you don't need to say to one. Do you see where they're parking their truck again in our yard? Now the other night, I just got 5 minutes, Lord, and I'm going to have through. We got home. We went out for coffee, which we don't do too much. And we got home about 10:20. And there was a knock on our front door at 10:30, and I thought, oh, for heaven's sake. And I'm hollering at Wayne, don't you open that door. He turns the knob, opens the door. And there's a man out there, and he wants to know, do we need any yard work done? You do know it's 10:30. We don't mow at 10:30. We don't rake at 10:30. We don't need any yard work done. So we're going to talk about that. Till 1 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe that? We're not going to turn loose of that. We're going to make sure we've got that set in concrete in this mind. Somebody, wonder where he lives. He could be living in our woods, couldn't he? So after I talked to Wayne enough, he called the police to have them come check the woods. And they found him, but not in the woods, but on the street in the vicinity. And they told him to stay off the property. And my next thought was, I wonder if he'll stay off the property. Because we can't see him from the house. You need to take control of your thoughts. It's your thoughts that are going to lead you away from the cross. Your thoughts is going to lead you away from what's paid for. You never receive what's paid for if in your mind you're contradicting. If the word of your thoughts, the word of your mouth, the confession of your faith, the testimony you give, has to be consistent with what God has paid for in order for it to work. You see that, don't you?
Yeah.
Paid for. It's paid for. Okay, let's do one more. Well, so we have famine, you know, you understand that. Nakedness without clothes. Peril is to be in danger, and sword is a declared enemy. That's verse 35. You know what a declared enemy is? Right here in Lakeland? I hate you. You ever heard that? Doesn't matter who said it. A neighbor, a friend, a relative? Said, I hate you. That's a declared enemy. You have the victory over enemies. Even those kind. I have the victory. I'm not moved by what I see. I have the victory. The things I see do not move me. Do you know that song?
No.
Okay, one more. We'll have to do the other half next week. I was going to introduce you to Romans 53. Second triumph. Let's do triumph. We didn't do that one, right? 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. See, when you have things go wrong, the people around you should wonder why you're not. The first thing they'll say is, "You're not really concerned, are you?" I said, "I don't have to be concerned. I cast every care upon Him." Yeah. Now, when I hire a yard man, I don't want a written report. I don't want him to come through and say your azaleas are too tall, which they often are, and central flower bed needs weeding. Wayne's a good yard man. He's raised on hard work, and he's good at hard work. No, I want him to get out there and do something. I don't need a written report. I need a report backed by action. So I don't have anything to worry about because Jesus paid it all. And what He paid for, He'll bring to pass unless I keep throwing doubt and unbelief in His face. Well, I don't know. You know, that never works out for us. We never have enough. We never have any. She's always mad like that. You're not going to do that, right? You're going to talk about what's paid for. Your health is paid for. Your healing is paid for. Arthritis is paid for. Leukemia is paid for. Cancer is paid for. Auxiliary headaches are paid for. And if you don't know what those are, God bless you. Don't even think about it again. Migraines are paid for. Arthritis is paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for. Jesus paid it all. All I have to do is say, "Come on, Jesus, I trust you." Amen. And all I have to say when you ask, "What are y'all going to do about that?" Because that's what people do. I heard you had a, "What are you going to do about that?" I said, "Nothing, not doing anything." They go, "You have to do something." I said, "No, I cast every care upon Him, and He said He'd take care of it." Somebody just talked to me yesterday about something that somebody was saying over and over and over and over and over again. The reason they can't solve that problem is they won't keep their mouth shut. They're giving it life through wrong words. Okay, here's the last one. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. In Christ is in union with Christ. It's we triumph because we are born again, we understand the cross and the shed blood, and because we are children of God through Jesus Christ. We're in union with Christ. The Worrell Bible, which you could get one of, says, "Who always gives us the victory in Christ over all our enemies." Doesn't matter what the enemy is or what name they name it. Or what surgery they want to do. I have the victory. Because I'm not moved by what I see. I have the victory. The things I see do not move me.